guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host, Shanae, and today I'm here with Dudley and our new co-host, Selena. Hi, Selena.
Hey, guys.
So, yeah, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we start?
So, my name is Selena Hunter, like Shanae mentioned. I'm a recent graduate from the University of the Bahamas. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in secondary education with a certificate in English language and literature. I love to talk, and I like to speak on very controversial topics because I also like to hear the different point of views and ideologies that exist within this country. So yes, that's a little about me.
Wow, I'm so happy that the two of y'all have degrees. Y'all bring credibility to the show. Meanwhile, me.
Dudley, you're gonna get it, okay?
I can hope and pray. I can only hope and pray.
So a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about, who this was now, the prime minister, well, former prime minister, Hubert Minnis, saying that he approves or supports the expunging of the people's records who had violations over the curfew period, which me and Dudley found it laughable of the fact that the former prime minister, Hubert Minnis, supports the expungement of records of, what's the thing called now? I don't forget what I was saying. Basically, right, over the COVID, the lockdown thing.
Yeah, when he caused people get a criminal record
for
the lockdown. Now he say he believed that they should have their record expunged just because they only get arrested for breaking curfew.
Exactly. Like, so you were the reason. Like, what are you doing? So the Rehabilitation of Offenders Committee has expunged the criminal records of 54 people this year and are awaiting directions from the government before erasing their records completely. And these were all people who were penalized for curfew violations during the pandemic. So former police commissioner said that they had received 112 applications. I think he said 14 of those were set on prerogative mercy, while 13 submitted too early, so I guess they couldn't get it expunged. Only people who violated curfew or some type of non-violent offense related to the emergency orders could put in to have their records expunged. Anybody else is a no. So if you kill somebody and you're trying to get that expunged, that's not happening. Because apparently people were trying to do that.
I'm trying to figure out how. Why would they even think that law was applicable to them?
I feel like murder and rape, you shouldn't be able to expunge people who are under 21.
Okay, so question.
Yeah.
Let's say if there wasn't a pandemic going on, would they still be able to expunge that?
Yeah, this is a part of the law.
So that's crazy. Okay. That's real powerful.
What country this is again? Is it Monopoly? No, this is the Bahamas. And it's like, I feel like every day I've learned a new law. Like, I did a law and ethics class, and I still feel like it's so much about the law that you have to learn about, because I didn't even know that.
I did not know that. But how it's worded within the article, I thought it was just because of the pandemic they're saying. So I was trying to figure out what's the special case with the pandemic surrounding these murders, especially heinous crimes such as murders and rape, like.
Yeah. And even so with rape, I think, according to our law, if I remember correctly, your first offense, you get up to 5 years. However, the judge could give you up to life. However, it's not really a common practice. So lawyers like to say, or like people in the courts like to say that, oh, you only could get up to 5 years. I think it's 5 to 5 or 7. Or 7 years, but it's actually not true. Like, you could actually convict someone up to spend the rest of their life in prison after 25 years.
Wow.
It's just that it's not a common practice and we don't see it often. And I'm always advocating for change in our laws surrounding sexual assault, because I feel like there are too many offenders walking around on our streets harming people, especially little children. And it's just
so disgusting.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Is it? Am I the only one that's confused that life sentences are just 25 years? Like, bro, every time I hear a life sentence, it's like, yeah, wait, that may go on for good. 25 years later, it's like, oh, well, he got out. Like, no, life.
Yeah.
Life. I want him to peacefully pass away in there, if possible.
No, just
I want them to be able to come off of a road. I mean, now, it all, and you know, certain people feel different types of way. If you feel like murder is worse than rape, then fine. If you feel rape is worse than murder, then fine. Both of them have a life sentence option. So both of them, in the eyes of the courts, it seemed to be pretty equal in terms of what you're doing. So if you go on for life, then go for life. Don't be like, oh, well, you know, 25 years he could come out. Because if you send somebody to jail at 25 years later, they could be 50.
Yeah.
They still got some time, bro. They still got some time to be alive. Yeah, it could be a whole new world when they come out, but they could be alive. And they could be, you know, and somebody is going to remember this person 25 years later and be like, wow, that's the way to get catch for murder. He's walking free. Motto. Or be like, wow, that's the boy who raped the one girl all those years ago. He free? She's still alive. What's wrong here? I thought he got life. And don't get me started on that 5-year foolishness. It's like, oh, well, you could only go to jail for 5 years. That seems so... that just sounds like such an insult to the
slap
victim.
On the wrist.
Like, hey, bro, we understand that this person might have forced you to do something without your consent. But the best we could do, 5 years, 7 years, you know, we could sprinkle on an extra little two, garnish it a little bit, but 5 years, you know, it's me. In 5 years' time, he could learn his lesson. No.
I feel like they have too much hope for rehabilitation of sex offenders when statistics have proven that most people who get out in that 5 year, after their 5 years, are repeat offenders.
Yeah,
so obviously something y'all are doing is not working.
I mean, we don't really have a system. We don't really have a system that's dedicated to rehabilitate people. We have a system that's more so along the lines of we want it to be so uncomfortable that you think that you're not going to be able to come back here. But it's also like, well, if I have a criminal record and you've ruined basically any prospects of me to get for getting a job, it's either I stay out here, I beg family or suffer, or I repeat, I do another crime, I go back, and for as ever long as I've been, it's crappy meals, but I can eat, I can sleep. So it's like, we don't really have a system for rehabilitating people. We just, you know, we just hope that it's that uncomfortable. You know, we put in a large amount of people in one cell and be like, yeah, y'all get one bucket. And we hope that that makes them feel so disgusted that they, you know, say, I'm never going to do this again. But humans are very adaptable to horrible conditions. So, you know, after a while, that probably don't matter to them. And they could be repeat offenders because it ain't like they could do anything else with their life anyway. You ruined it, pretty much. So, yeah. I mean, well, you could say, well, they ruined their own lives. You know what
I mean. And I think, too, talking on the sexual assault, I feel like that's why Bahamians have been pushing so hard for a registry. Because it's just like, if you're not going to protect us and our kids, then I feel like you have to protect ourselves.
We need to know ourselves.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, if we do that, then you're going to hurt them. But my thing is, if you were properly dealing with these people in the first place, people wouldn't have the need, wouldn't feel the need, I should say, to take things into their own hands. Because if I have a daughter or a son and they were sexually assaulted and this man goes to jail for 5 years, and you don't know 5 years in prison ain't really 5 years, it's 9 months. So let's say 3.5, 4 years, they may get off good on good behavior. So let's say 2.5 years, 3 years for raping my son or daughter or assaulting them, groping them, whatever may have occurred. My child has to live with that scar for the rest of their life. That's something that you never get over. But he gets to walk, or she gets to walk around free and live their life as though nothing happened and possibly do this to somebody else. Like, that's not normal. Like,
imagine somebody raping a child, right? And then the court say, yeah, that person only get 5 years. Now my child have two scars, because first of all, she scarred from the fact that, you know, the person raped them. And then the second Skaga be when that boy come out, he dead because I letting him free. I sorry. I understand that that's the main argument against the sex offenders registry and list. I understand that. However, I also feel as though we could all come to, as reasonable people, you could understand why a parent would be so upset with somebody that basically messed up their child in some form or fashion forever. They want to take retribution in some way. And unfortunately, it normally is be taking of a life. But, you know, that's the...
I was just about to speak on that, Dudley, because we have to go to the root of it all. No matter if the person, unless they are hanged, I don't see what any retribution the government will give to them that would suffice for hanging people on a whole. We know the culture within our country, our country is mainly revenge killing. So I don't see whether you publicize it or not, because we don't have a public sex offender registry. We don't have a sex offender registry, to my knowledge, like a proper working one as yet. Yet, the Bahamas is so small. You rape my daughter or son, I already know who you are. No matter if they send you to jail for 5, 10, 15 years, unless you die in that jail, sometimes they even get killed in jail. But the minute you get out, you on bail or whatever the case may be, you know your retribution coming back. That's why a lot of them do. So you would hear that they were out on bail and they do other crimes. Some of them really, but some of them literally do stupid stuff to go back in jail because they know that they're safer in jail than if they're out of jail. And I have a very strong feeling, it's just my opinion, not the opinion of anybody else. Sometimes they even let these people out and you would be like, well, why these be letting these so-and-so people out? Because they know who and who ready waiting for that person to get out so they can kill them. Because there are very limited space in the prison. So I don't think that argument is any excuse for not having a sexual offenders registry, because it's already happening. Just because these persons are posted doesn't mean that they're going to be targeted now. They're already targeted. It's not, that doesn't have any correlation with them being targeted. So I think that excuse is not applicable to the situation, honestly. You could tell me if I'm wrong.
I have my complication, the personal battle that I have is, you know, obviously I just said that if a person rapes my child, I'm going to kill them. But I am if a person rapes my child, I'm going to assist them to no longer being a problem. But the other thing in my head, and this is a very unfortunate thing, but I was taught as a child that there is always a sliver of hope in people. So I'm not saying everyone is worthy of hope. Like if you go to jail once for something and then you do it again when you come out, then as soon as you do it the second time, I really don't have any hope for you. But if you do it once, I will preface this. I am a cynical person. I have the slimmest bit of hope that you could change. So I don't feel as though it's necessarily appropriate that they have to die. However, I feel as though if you put them on the sex offenders list, and you know the end result is people who go on the list are going to die, that's not fair to them because they don't have a chance to prove that they've been rehabilitated. Now, we could say 100 times they don't get rehabilitated, they just go back. Yeah, but there are some, I'm sure there's a small, well, we don't really do research here.
So that's what I was just about to say. I was just about to say that. I mean, not to cut you off, but I wasn't meaning that if they're placed on this, they're going to die, that they deserve to die. I'm not saying that because I believe everybody should be giving. I mean, I'm between a pessimist and an optimistic person. I don't know what's the correlation. I thank you very much. I'm a realist. I believe that there's a chance for everybody to change. However, the reality of it all is that statistically, we don't know that for the Bahamas. And all I'm saying is that there's no research that proves that because there was person that you put a sex offender list out, these persons are going to die. Now, if we I just think that that's a needed thing, because especially in our culture, we know it's embedded in our culture, especially when it comes to family members, to cover up these things. And we have predatory men and women who are preying on small children and taking advantage of them, because at the end of the day, I don't care how much you scream consensual, come on, man, something really gotta be wrong with you to be with a child. You can't wait. You can't find somebody you want to anyway. That's a whole different thing. So what I'm saying is that you did the crime. That's a part of the consequence. You still did the crime, whether you want claim insanity, mental illness, whatever the case may be. Then that's a consequence you have to live with. Now, whether that's a death sentence or not, we don't have the research to prove that. Therefore, that shouldn't even be up to question. That's not negating any right that they have. No, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't see any rights of that person. You committed a rape, and that's a heinous act. You did that. You're going to do the time, but the time should not be the only consequence that you have. You need to be registered, because at the end of the day, you are, whether you were or whatever, predator. And I think this would help them to keep them in check as well. People would think twice before they do these things. Nowadays, you're scared for your life or whatever the case may be, and it's like they're getting a slap on the wrist. Okay, well, in 5 years, I could go, I was having sex with this girl, she 11, I sneaking her in my bus, this place, whatever. Well, anyway, by the time she 15 or whatever, I'll be back out and I could probably have an ex person on the side of her, because I like little girls. I don't see how having a sex offender list, because that's our culture. And if we don't do anything to reprimand that or to put some type of very serious stipulation on that, like that's the consequence, then they'll forever be getting away with it as they have been doing for so long. America doesn't think twice about, not saying that America is our standard, but many countries have this. Why we questioning this?
So we don't need to pretend. You don't have to pretend like we don't look over to our neighbor America to make some decisions. That's what we do.
I just wanted to make you fairground, because you know, some people go, oh, why are you using America as a standard? This and that, yada, yada, yada. That's because you do. You literally have a saying, if America catch a cold, we sneeze.
Yeah, that's a very sad saying. Like, that gives me... Anyway, you're a realist. I'm a pessimist. I have no hope. Anyway, the registry needs to... I'm arguing on the side of the registry. I'm sure that after we have it and we see, you know, what goes down for a little while, we could figure out whether or not we need to keep it. But I mean, even if we start it and then we get rid of it, you know, we
still try.
At least you tried something. I mean, people still call for people to get hanged again and as capital punishment, which is, I was like, oh, we could just whip them with the cat of nine tails. I think you got to kill them right out the gate, but you know, yeah, we could try it. At least we could try.
I mean, I'm iffy about the whole capital punishment thing, because DNA and stuff is, you know, more improved, the lessons, the chances. And anyways, moving on. I have such of a big heart. I guess it's different for when persons really do something to somebody you love. It's a whole different like of that. But the whole torture thing and all of that, I just, personally, I can't take it. I can't watch it. I can't take it. I can't do none of those things. I don't know how people used to do that. They used to be watching people get beheaded and stuff like that. I don't understand, because that person could run through 1,000,010 people. I would think that they do deserve punishment, mind you. But personally, like, the taking of a life and me watching it, especially me watching it, that cannot happen.
I vaguely remember because I was a child when it happened, but I vaguely remember when we were getting rid of capital punishment and the Bahamas were like, this is the last man to get hanged. People pulled up. That was recorded. like that was on the news. Like, that was major news. I mean, I understand why it would have been news. Like, it's the last person. But like, people pulled up. People was like, yo, this is the last time we get to see this ever. I'm watching. And like, people gone. And as a kid, I was like, I didn't really understand what happened, because I don't exactly remember, but I doubt they showed the whole thing. They just showed him like with the noose, and it's like, yeah, this is the last person to ever suffer from capital, to ever be punished with capital punishment. But I do remember that there was a good amount of people that had went out there. And the part about capital punishment that makes me like cringe and wince is that is when the people applaud. It's like, I get, you know, I understand.
That's just
Yeah, I mean, like, it's weird. It's weird that we put a whole spectacle. And I mean, as like you say, people used to pull up in droves. It's like, hey, yo, we got the beheading coming up this week. Yo, somebody getting beheaded? Pull up! So
everybody there?
Hey, so the fact that, you know, we went from that to people still pulling up for hangings, and now people are, I mean, a part of me does believe that some people are calling for it back just so that they can see a hanging in real life. And I know, but I feel as though us not having capital punishment, we cool with that for right now. If things get worse, and things looking like they ain't going too good right now, but if things get
I was just with the same. How worse do you can it get?
Well, I mean, just think about it like this. The last hanging was over a decade ago, and 2015 was apparently the most bloodiest year in our history, with over 100, with like the most murders, and we still didn't bring it back for that.
For me personally, the whole theft factor, and it's proven that that's not necessarily, because I know a lot of persons call for it, and I know my ideology was too, if you bring that back and you actually implement it, not just having it on the books, but you actually start hanging people again, that would put some fear in these criminals to, hey, you know what, let me take it easy, because at the end of the day, like that video going around with that little boy who's crying. Like, you know, it's a difference when you won't be video recording and, you know, bad man, this and that. But the minute the 5-0 pull you over and you in handcuffs or whatever, you would see the real person come
on. Not in my gun, daddy. Not in my gun, daddy.
So, my thing. But research does show that many people have very different makeups. So that doesn't necessarily bring them back capital punishments, but it's equal to a decrease in crime.
Hey, well, there was this one. I have to go look it up. I will look it up for the next time if we come back for another episode. But there, I do remember this story. This one of the countries in Africa said the punishment for, like, if you rape somebody, you're not going to jail. You're going to get castrated. And they saw a significant reduction in rape. Because I
agree with that.
Boy, I ain't gonna lie.
I agree with that. Now, if we bring that in, but see, then that goes into the whole ethical of the government. I mean, but see, there's a difference between you controlling your own body and then you being a harm to not only yourselves, but the whole, the community at large. So I could see a government mandating that, and I wouldn't see any ethical flags raising, because if you didn't want to be castrated, you should have kept your private areas within your pants. But I think we should give that a try.
As fun as that sounds, I don't think I want to leave. I don't think I want to leave that much power. I feel as though that's just a little bit too much. You know, it's like, oh, if you do something bad enough, we agree that you can be permanently mutilated. It's kind of like,
It's sounding more
when you break it down, because it's like we say you get castrated and, you know, your private's gone, but who's to say that it would only end there? What's to stop them from chopping off a hand, a whole arm, a foot?
What country? I was just about to say, I remember reading an article. It's one South Asian, I think it's one South Asian country where they don't care if you're a child. If you steal, they roll over your hand.
Yeah,
literally, I watched the video.
They cut off your hand for stealing. And then it's like, you know. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a lot of power to just let the state have.
But I feel like capital punishment, I feel like if we were to implement, I'm not necessarily against it, no, with it. I'm kind of in, like, it's in certain circumstances where it could be beneficial in terms of if you were to have a someone who's killing people, like a serial killer, which we had in we had quite a few of those in the early 2000s and the early, I think it was the 90s. But I feel like in order for us to implement capital punishment, we would have to have a more thorough justice system, because I feel as though too many times we don't properly investigate or thoroughly investigate circumstances, and a lot of innocent people are either coerced or may have confessed because of fear or whatever the circumstances may be, because we have seen people being beaten by police in custody and all kind of different things, right? So I feel like in order for us to have capital punishment, we would have to reevaluate our entire justice system, not only the police and investigating, but the court systems as well, and a lot of the laws, before we can even think about going back in that direction, at least in my opinion, in a modern society. And then I know that he was talking about the highest crime rate being in 2015, and apparently we are on the roll back there again. And a lot of people are predicting that this year may just surpass 2015, because I think we're already at 80-something. I don't know if you guys, well, I'm sure you guys have seen that the young man, Omar Davis, was murdered and was placed in a garbage bag. There was another gentleman who was, they attempted to murder him. They threw gasoline on him, set him afire, threw him on the side of the road, but he survived. There was another young man that I think was shot. All of this was in the span of maybe 48 hours. And so crime is obviously on an uprise. I would like to say condolences to all of those families. No one deserves to be killed for whatever reason. For such frivolous things. I can't imagine how that must feel. But the question is, what do we do as a country? Because I see there's been a lot of talk among like the police and saying what we're gonna do and how we're gonna handle this. But the question is, what do you think we can actually do differently that's going to result in a different end product? Because I honestly feel like kind of locked out the last couple of years due to, I don't want to say COVID, but I feel like obviously crime was still going on, but I feel like COVID may have had an impact.
Slowed it down. Crime,
because the world was so focused on other things.
If you let the police tell it, COVID had nothing to do with the reduction of crime.
Well, maybe it didn't. I don't know. I'm just saying my opinion. I could be wrong. There's no statistical evidence to prove that. But I mean, the world slowed down.
No. There's definitely statistical evidence to prove it. The fact that crime had gone down significantly within a short period due to the pandemic versus the ending part of 2019. That's very telling that, you know, if you tell people you got to stay inside or you're going to get locked up, you'll see minor crimes. Major crimes might not go down because people who are going to, it's always been said, if somebody wants to commit a murder, they are going to commit murder. It's major crimes might have stayed around, hovered around the same area, but minor crimes definitely went down.
And not only that, a lot of these persons who are criminals, they tend to use the shadows. So when there isn't a mass around or whatever, it's easier to, and those persons who are daring to break the law and stuff like that, it's easier to catch them because there isn't much persons on the street or in these different areas because everybody's supposed to be home. So it's much easier to target and locate these crimes when with all the hustle and bustle of the city. So I can't understand why with the police, but that's their narrative. But
first of all, the police are working very hard to ensure that our streets stay safe, okay?
And I don't disagree with that idea.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I understand how most people take it, but I do genuinely believe that police officers work a lot harder than we give them credit for. Now, I think the reason we don't really give them that much credit is because, as Selena said, this is monopoly, so we're dealing with monopoly rules. But I do feel as though for a game of monopoly that's gone off the rails as badly as this game has gone off, I feel as though the police do, they work hard. And I've noticed that they make their presence more known. Now, if that's for better or for worse, I leave that to the discretion of our listening public. But I've definitely noticed that there's a bigger police presence. But no, in terms of what we can do to help curb this crime problem, I believe that it all starts with the youth. You gotta have a lot of times, you know, you and this ain't, and you know, like I say, we don't have the best statistics over here, we don't do the best research, but you know, in general, if you have, they say if you come, if you have two parents or if you have a mother figure and a father figure, there's less chance of you committing crime because people join, because boys join gangs to get that affirmation from a male figure that they don't get because they don't have a father and so on and so forth and this, that, and the third. But if you involve them in the community, if you make them feel like they are a part of bettering something, if you feel like their time is being used wisely, you know, like you have some people play basketball, some people play soccer, some people play football, some people do softball, some people learn how to cook, all these different things. Like if you have more interaction, and this could be a wonderful partnership between the police force and the Christian Council. If you all come together with a bunch of programs targeted at the youth of the nation to try and see how well this would curb the next generation, let's say you run it for the current 5 to 7 year olds, and then you look back at it in 10 years and see where most of those kids are. If you catch them when they're young, you have a better chance of curbing it than if you catch them when they're 25 and already was a petty criminal, now they're going to major crimes. So that's a start. Now, the solution to crime is something that no country has found. So I know the solution. I just could give suggestions on where to start. But, you know, I's a random voice on the radio. They ain't really going to listen to me like that.
I think the key, like, to tie in with what you said, research, is also reformation. And it's so sad that it's not only really within this sector, but every sector within our country needs a reformation. What we have done, we were colonialized, and we adopted colonial laws and ways of, they call incarceration. When really and truly, we're still just modeling what they did to slaves. We call ourselves liberalized, but are we truly are, or we're just mimicking? Because policies that Britain had when during colonial eras, they have.
Literally, we're mimicking what was institutionalized within our country, and our colonizers don't even follow those things. A lot of the things that we still, like our laws and stuff like that, that's done away with. And it's just so many things that we're just literally going with the flow. Yes, I think tourism is a good thing when managed properly, but in the 21st century, it should not still be our first industry. All this money that we're pumping in, like government after government, they're pumping into the tourism industry. I think year after year, government after government should be slowly trying to make moves so that that's not the only thing. They say this in theory. Sometimes some of them promise this in theory, but then when they get in, it's still a hole to do. Will this ever happen? I highly doubt it. But we're talking about reformation. Our whole prison system, education system, healthcare system, all of these things need to be reformed. But there's a pessimistic in me now. I don't think it's ever going to happen. But we could try. And I think reformation is the key. Like, all this money that we're pumping into different sectors and stuff like that, I still don't understand why we don't have more clinics, hospitals on the islands, why we don't have different schools. You know, it's money being pumped into so much different things and so many different people pockets when the country is literally crumbling, especially the lower middle class and lower class of our country. Really, it's crumbling. Like they say, the Bahamas is not a real place. And it's sad. I would hope there is a change, and they wonder why influx persons are fleeing this country. So much so that they have to bring in foreigners, but then on the flip side of that, they want to cry and say that we're being infiltrated. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. But on another note, basically, what they have done in Barbados, this is relating to our gas prices. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen today, gas prices have dropped. So Rubis is $6.30, Esso is $6.66, I think, or $6.60. And then Shell is in at $6.90 something. So gas prices have dropped again. Now, I think this was yesterday or the before yesterday, I saw an article referring to Barbados putting a cap on their gas prices in order to give relief to people. So they pay by the liter. And I think it was like $4 a liter or something like that. Or something like that. I don't know. But basically, it would have added up to about $9 a gallon. So the head of the retailer, the Gas Retailing Association, I think it's called, or something of that sort, said that they don't think that the government should put a cap on it, because the reporter had asked if they think that that should be something that we should look into. And he was like, no, because our gas prices aren't that high as yet. And the government is trying their best to avoid the prices to continually rise as they removed that from the price of gas, which allowed it to decrease. I'm assuming that's what's happening. And also the price of gas has decreased a bit, I guess. Like the barrels that they bring in has decreased a bit. So do you think, I guess what I want to ask is, do you think that there should be a cap on gas? Because I know the president said that, oh, Barbados was almost $9, but we haven't taken into account that I'm pretty sure the Bahamas' cost of living is higher than Barbados. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Number three in the world.
We're number three, so Barbados is, I don't know if it's in the top three, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure we're higher than.
We're behind two European countries.
So y'all think there's just $9, but our cost of living is extremely higher, I would say. And $7 is kind of much. At least it was $7. $7.30, I believe, was the highest. Was kind of much considering the cost of living in the country. So do you think that's like something that should have been considered?
Until I will not be satisfied with gas prices for a long time. And I understand it's my fault, but this is my problem. I feel as though the Mr. Sir, who I can't remember the title that you said he was. I feel as though the reason why he could say like gas prices weren't that high is because it was projected that before the end of summer, we were going to be at $8 a gallon. And we never made it there. We got kind of close, but we never made it to the dreaded $8 mark. And now we're seeing it go down. And it's the most expensive Shell is $6.90-something. And Rubis, the cheapest, is $6.30, whatever. And my thing is this. I am not satisfied because the price of gas, the price of 1 gallon of gas is more than minimum wage. You can't tell me that you're doing a good job. Like, oh, we're doing such a great job. No, you're not. You're not doing a great... And mind you, it's due to factors that are not their fault. I understand that we live in a whole global community, and the reason why the price of gas is so high is due to the current ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, even though we're not going to hear reports about the other wars that are currently still going on. We just want to talk about Russia and Ukraine because that's where the billions of dollars from this side of the world are going. Anyway, that whole topic aside, people don't have an opportunity to properly live because the option is gas or food.
Literally, the family, and
everybody wants to say, oh, Nassau shouldn't complain because the family islands has it worse. I know for a fact that the family islands has it worse, but yes. if we live in a real world and we have to understand, as callous as this is about to sound, much of the reporting of news that goes on in this country is centered around Nassau. It really goes Nassau, Freeport, family islands. That's how the news cycle pretty much goes. So Nassau is pretty much, you have to use the prices in Nassau as a general barometer of what the prices is everywhere else. When gas was $7.30 here, I called my aunt who lives in Eleuthera, and she was like, yeah, that sounds like a good price compared to what's happening over here. So, and that's Eleuthera. Eleuthera is a 20-minute plane ride away from Nassau. I can't imagine what gas is like in Crooked Island, Miguana, and Nagua, like Sansal, the furthest southern islands. I wouldn't even begin to try to pretend to imagine what those prices like. So the problem is we've always been Nassau-centric in everything. So as like I said, it's very callous, but I have to look at Nassau, number one, because I live here, and number two, that's literally what the news feeds me. So the fact that we have this twisted nonsensical idea that things are going kind of good in Nassau. It's not as bad as we thought it was going to be, so it's obviously not bad. No, the minimum wage is $210 for 40 hours of work. The price of gas, the cheapest price of gas is over a dollar, is over a dollar more than minimum wage. How is this a good thing? This is a, like, if this was a test, you get an F. Like, how does this make sense? There's failure going on everywhere. Like, failure is happening around.
You stop it right here. Because at the end of the day, that's not their fault that you did not get an education or you did not put yourself in the predicament to have a better life. So,
if you're at the state where you have to
get minimum wage, what's that have to do with the government job?
I want you to eat your
lazy butt and go do something better. Okay?
I'm done
playing David, devil's advocate.
There's no need for the devil's advocate here. We have so, listen, the amount of foolishness, anyway, I'm sorry, but the point is, I was about to go on a tangent on something else, but the point is, I am not saying that this is the government's fault. I do not believe it. If they had a choice, I really don't, looking at the historical legacy of the current governing body, I truly believe if they had a choice, they would make gas underneath minimum wage tomorrow. I truly believe that in my heart, but they can't. And that's due to external economic factors. And that's not really understandable to most people, but I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. And I'm not surprised. I'm just disappointed. And that's really all I have left to say.
God have mercy in the Bahamas.
Listen here. I know I just talk doom and gloom on the airwaves every Saturday, but you know, it's like they say, there's always a silver lining. The sun is behind the clouds. There are things that are going to get better if you thug it through and all this, that, and the third. Teachers, make sure y'all go the extra mile, whatever the hell that means.
Oh, yes. We were supposed to talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. And yet today, how we forget to speak on that topic. Listen to
We could do it. We could have a whole episode on it next week. But I'm being very serious. We could. But teachers, make sure y'all go the extra mile, whatever that means. Government workers, make sure that you clock in to work so you can get paid even if you ain't doing nothing. Everybody who making $210 a week, I feel so sorry that you have to choose between gas and food. And everybody else,
thank you very much.
Everybody suffering. Be a good person.
I'm serious.
With your dread, guys. This week has been a very depressing week. At least a very depressing week for me. After seeing all of the people's lives who've been affected by crime. That really bothered me, especially going on social media and seeing it all over my page. I mean, maybe I'm just a softie or I think I would consider an empath. I don't know. Because I'm putting myself in their shoes and their family's shoes or whatever. It just really bothered me. So y'all be safe out there. Stay vigilant. Be observant. And also be careful of who you tell your business to and who you associate with, because it really be the people closest to you who tend to stab you in the back. But With that being said, we had a great session today. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Candid242, where you can stay updated on what we're doing and when new shows are being released. Keep it real, Bahamas.